Okay, so this is all just microholography, or holography, if you prefer. So don't think you can just float around the movie theater without slamming into my vintage cassette tape collection.
What a terrible loss it would be to damage centuries-old copies of Girl, You Know It's True and the 1989 Batman motion picture soundtrack.
They're irreplaceable relics and family heirlooms.
You said they were found in boxes in your grandfather's basement.
Okay, are you ready for the theatrical experience of sitting in a cramped space surrounded by strangers?
No.
Well, too bad, because it took weeks to turn this closet into a miniature holodeck, and we are going to share the experience of ancient humans who herded themselves into theaters to watch a movie.
You could just watch anything you wanted on a large monitor, but you went through the trouble of installing micro-holographic projectors to create an authentic theater experience complete with sticky floors, crying children, and coughing holograms. If you charged ridiculously high ticket prices, the experience would be complete.
I thought of everything, including bringing my own snacks and soda because buying from a theater was too expensive.
With all the messes and disasters this ship is plagued with, it is interesting that you found the time to do this. It's even more interesting that you have the technical skill to make a holodeck out of the closet, but you're stuck as a maintenance worker who ranks so low in the command structure of this ship that if even everyone else was dead and the main computer offline, you still wouldn't be allowed to take command. The cashier at the Omega Mart on Deck 4, Section 20 would take command before you would.
That section of the ship should be jettisoned into space and tractor beamed into a sun. There's a creepy grocery store there, a burger truck, fast food restaurant, shopping mall, and some incredibly rude vending machines. Not to mention that talking toaster who won't stop asking if you want some kind of toasted bread item. Just sits on a table, in a storage closet, and hums theme songs to ancient 1980s television sitcoms until some idiot happens to walk by. And, you know, they're not all good sitcoms. We're talking one season or less shows that only exist in the database because some of it was copied off an ancient repository of knowledge called YouTube. Alright, are you prepared for the most awesome thing you've ever heard?
9 minutes and 20 seconds into the It's Been Educational Clock Tower score from the Back to the Future soundtrack is the most awesome thing I've ever heard.
I programmed a special opening to each and every movie in our closet theater. Sit back, relax, and prepare to experience our feature presentation.
I don't get it. What does HBO stand for?
I don't know. I consulted the database, and the only result that came up was human body odor. But I'm pretty sure that's not what it means. But you gotta admit, that's an epic intro. One 100 years before this story begins, it was a time of darkness in Transylvania. Oh, come on! Man, you've gotta be kidding me! We are in orbit of a planet with a primitive civilization! And what are we at red alert for? Did some tribal fling a arrow at us from the surface, and the captain used it as an excuse to fire off a few torpedoes so he could requisition shiny new ones next month? Starfleet's a dirty little secret it doesn't want the entire Alpha Quadrant to know about. Garbane, methane, propane, and garbage. The secret sauce that keeps our emergency thruster packs firing. I love that smell. Reminds me of biscuits and gravy. Hey Reg, how's Trix?
Ain't sparking, fellas. Ain't sparking. Day's young, though. Could spark up anytime. Anytime now. Anytime. Anytime.
That poor guy. You know, legend has it he survived 66 consoles exploding in his face over the span of his career in maintenance.
The odds of surviving a console explosion on a Starfleet ship are approximately 3,720 to one.
Never tell me the odds.
So, have you heard the rumor?
That the captain hides a phaser in his bathroom because he's terrified of one-eyed monsters coming up the pipes while he's, you know, baking brownies?
No. That the captain and Dr. Sharp are being held hostage by the leader of a primitive tribe because they didn't impress him with a well-told story.
What? Some primitive put hands on my sweet Melissa?
You really shouldn't call her that.
Where did you hear this from?
There is a crew discussion group on Fleetbook. There's a 784-page discussion about whether or not Lieutenant Yubari is a...
Let's not get into that. Is there a rescue mission being planned?
Lieutenant Yubari was on the away mission when they were taken. Apparently she has a brilliant plan to rescue them, but since it's a primitive culture, Starfleet has to approve. So I guess we'll have to wait and find out what happened in 2 or 3 years when the episode finally comes out.
What?
Never mind.
Well, we've got to get down there and rescue her.
What about the captain?
Yeah, him too. Whatever. What's this about a well-told story?
Apparently, their primitive culture judges you on your ability to tell a story that both thrills and impresses the listener. You are considered a master storyteller if you sing it. According to Lieutenant Yubari, the captain really screwed up with the story he chose to tell.
No problem. I'll just tell them the story of the young boy who is sent back in time to make sure his mother and father end up together so he doesn't fade out of existence. Wait. No. They're idiots, and they probably have no concept of time travel. I got it. How about a story about a man who wrecks his cornfield and he goes bankrupt so a bunch of dead guys can play baseball? No, they wouldn't know what baseball is.
Could you lighten up on the film references?
Wait a minute! It's perfect! I can tell a story and sing at the same time to make sure they let the doctor go. Alright, come on, pal. We're on a rescue mission. Wait. Just out of curiosity, why was there a red alert last night? They didn't even tell us what was going on.
Dramatic effect for the bridge crew. As soon as they found out the captain and doctor were taken prisoner, a red alert was ordered. Do they really even need a reason to call a red alert on this ship anyway? They might as well just leave it on all day, every day of the year.
The replicators are offline, the emergency supplies are gone, and all we have left to eat is pot noodles.
Self-destruct! I'm willing to bet they've never seen a hovering cleaning droid before.
Judging by their level of technology, I'd say they're definitely pre-pizza level of advancement.
Pre-pizza?
I judge civilizations based on whether or not they've invented the pizza, or something close to it. If you can't get that right, you're not worthy of first contact as far as I'm concerned. I mean, even the Klingons have something like pizza. Except instead of pepperoni, they use worms. Bunch of savages.
You're not even dressed like them, and you don't have a bumpy forehead. They'll probably know you're not from around here.
Relax. I rigged up a portable holo emitter. It's a bit crude, but I'm calling it the mobile emitter.
You're serious?
Yeah, why? I've been working on one for years. Someday, it'll be everywhere, and they'll have a lowly maintenance worker to thank.
And what am I supposed to do?
I installed an avatar projector in you. Just project something and activate your cloak. You can hover behind the projection. No one will know you're there.
Remind me again why I have a cloaking device.
Plot convenience. Alright, pick an avatar and project it. And don't project yourself as a little girl with a weird sort of British accent.
That's a reference no one except you will understand.
Just do it! You look... well, you look like a... bum. I copied your appearance. Oh. Well met, good fellow. How art thou this fineth day? What are you doing? You sound like an idiot. Look at this place. It's like medieval England. I don't know how else to speak to these primitives. Hello, sir. Can ye thee telleth me wherefore art thou king and or whoever is in charge eth around here?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand what you're saying.
We need to find whoever is in charge of this place.
Big castle, down that way. Can't miss it.
Thanketh thee, good sir. May the gods or whatever blesseth thee for the thine helpeth with our quest, eth.
Right. I'm going to go now. Please don't follow me.
Cometh my friend to the castle, we must go.
Stop.
Yeah.
Can't you read the sign over there? It says no knocking on the door during work hours. The Savan is not seeing storytellers, beggars, or door-to-door salesmen until the daily work period is over. Return here at sundown and you shall be punished accordingly.
Just out of curiosity, what's the punishment?
You will be paddled in the rear no less than 10 times by the court jester.
Really?
Yes, he's an odd one. Seems to enjoy it far too much. But he amuses the Sylvan, so it's considered a reward for him. I suppose the humiliation and the sound of the jester's giggling is enough to make you remember not to knock on the main door ever again.
Actually, we've come to seek the freedom of a friend of ours. She's, well, from out of town. Goes by the name Melissa.
Ah, you mean the Sky People? Yes, the annoying blue one claimed to reside on a ship that sails in the sky and that he needed his magic talisman to call his Sky People for help. The Savan was wondering when they would send someone on their behalf.
Yes, we are sent from the sky to retrieve our people. The Lady Melissa, and the Blue Demon, who says Jehoshaphat a lot.
Yes, what does that even mean?
It's the name of someone who was a good jumper. I don't really know why he says it.
I see.
So, you've come for the Sky People. Tell me why I should free them as they offended me so terribly. When asked to impress me with a great tale, the Blue One bored me by telling me a tale called The Room. It made absolutely no sense to me. It was the most disappointing story I have ever heard. I certainly would not have paid to hear it. And I know not what a football is.
Ah, yes, that is an ancient tale.
reviled among our people. Perhaps he thought a fresh audience might appreciate it. But anyway, I have come to sing a great story for you and to apologize for this offense. If you will allow me, I will sing a story for you that will more than earn the freedom of our people.
Very well. You may sing this story, but be warned! If you fail to impress me, you shall face no less than 1,000 paddles to the rear by my jester as punishment.
Great. So we have a deal?
We have a deal.
Okay, pal. This is a blues riff in B. Watch me for changes and try to keep up. Now is not the time to make references like that. I know where you're going with this. Just let me play the song and we'll lip sync to it. That won't look natural. They won't know the difference. I am not taking a chance with the doctor's life. And how many times have you told me I suck at singing this song? I can tell you exactly. Look, we got one shot at impressing King Ralph over here. I know you can do it, pal. We can do it. All we gotta do is sing our hearts out and change you into female, because there's no way this song works with two dudes. I'm not technically a dude. My programming is only set to a male personality. I can be female if I want. Lucky you being all non-binary. Can you do it? I think I can come up with an appropriate appearance and voice. Whoa. You look amazing. And a redhead? Okay. You look awesome. Don't say a word. Let's get out there and get our doctor back. And the captain too, whatever. My sky person, who can totally change his appearance at will because he's a sky person and that should be good enough explanation for you, and I will now perform the never-ending story.
Play the song.
Turn around, look at what you see.
You are indeed master storytellers. You have won the freedom of the Lady Melissa and that blue demon who annoys me with that cursed word he says far too many times. Well done, Sky People, well done.
I can't believe it. The captain got caught picking the lock to their cell, and he gets credit for rescuing himself and the doctor because they must have been impressed the captain was a master locksmith. At least, that's how the first officer put it.
A lesser man might take offense, but I know what we did, and I couldn't be more proud. Let them pat themselves on the back again. I got what I wanted. Excuse me, Dr. Sharp.
Alcar?
Melissa?
Come on, pal. This party's lame. We never did get to watch that movie. Let's get out of here.
Right with you. Here. It's real popcorn and butter, not that replicated junk.
Oh, thanks, pal. Hey, real popcorn with real butter. Nice. Computer, begin program. Hey, I was just wondering, is there any way you can project yourself as that red-headed woman permanently? Because if you could...
No.
Gary and Bob, an unofficial and completely unauthorized episode of Starship Excelsior, a Star Trek fan audio drama. This episode featured the voice talents of Chase Kupo as Gary and Bob, the cleaning droid, as well as miscellaneous voices. Chase is a rap artist under the artist name Pathogen, music streaming everywhere you normally listen to music, including YouTube and Bandcamp. He is also the co-host of the podcast Back Row Movie News and the host of the podcast The Meddling Kids. Pre-recorded audio of Larry Phelan and Edison Potter were provided by Starship Excelsior for use in this production. The Neverending Story cover was performed by Elisa with Peter Bozeman and was used with permission. Star Trek is the property of CBS and Paramount and no infringement is intended. Visit StarshipExcelsior.com to listen to the entire series. Gary and Bob will return in a special episode titled The Phantom Urinator.
Whoa!